Be in Genesis chapter 1 this evening.
Genesis chapter 1, and with the very first words we read, "In the beginning, God." Isn't that amazing? The very first words, the very first book of the book that contains everything that God desires us to know begins with, "In the beginning, God." The book of Genesis, where we find these words in the beginning, is a book of beginnings in a lot of ways. We see in the book of Genesis, we see the beginning of sin. We see the beginning of different languages. We see the beginning of different peoples. We see the beginning of the lineage of Israel. We see the beginning of the lineage of Judah. We see the beginning of the people of Israel's time down in Egypt. But there are two of these that I didn't list in our list so far that I wanted to make a few comments on this evening. And that begins, number one, with where we began here in Genesis 1 and verse 1, the beginning of everything. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night, and there was evening and there was morning one day." And it continues as such with God creating everything down to the sixth day in verse 24. "Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind.' And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' Then God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' Then God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food,' and it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." This is such an important section of text for us to know and also to realize that it's there because it gives us the beginning. We know the beginning. We are not in the dark about what happened at the very beginning of time. We know that the world was created and that the world has a creator. What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of all? What is the meaning of my life? Well, if there is not a creator, the answer is nothing. I mean, how can something that just is, how can something that just formed have any purpose or meaning to it? But if there is a creator, then there is a purpose. And to find out what that purpose is, well, we've got to look at the blueprint, what it is that he laid down man to be. And we see from the very beginning, God created his creation to be good. And that's what he said over and over and over again. He created it to be good. And as far as man was concerned, he created it to be the ultimate good, to be in his image, to be holy, to be spotless, to be blameless, to be like him. And then he desired his good to be fruitful and to multiply. He desired his good to grow. After that, we have another beginning, an unfortunate beginning at that. In the book of Genesis, we have the beginning of sin. And then, after the beginning of sin, not far after that, just in terms of the chapters within the book of Genesis, we have the beginning of everything again. Why is that? Genesis 6 and verse 5. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, 'I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of land, from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God. And Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." And God did that. He destroyed the earth. The original world that he has created was destroyed. I mean, if you have ever seen a great inundation of water, you know, strike any kind of land, you understand that this world probably doesn't look anything like the world originally did when it was created. And unfortunately, same is true about that creation that was made on the sixth day. We have drifted as a whole far away from what God created us to be. And that was very much the case, extremely the case during the days of Noah. And yet we are still standing here today. And why is that? Well, number one, because of the mercy of God, but also because of the faithfulness of our great, great, you know, times a million, whatever, grandfather. I have no idea, but because of our ancestor, which is amazing when you really think about it. I mean, it's so amazing that there was a man as faithful as Noah during that time. If we think that it is impossible to be faithful and to be righteous in a day like today, we are far mistaken. If Noah can do it, we certainly can. And also, another good point to take away from this is, what a legacy worth leaving. that so many benefited from Noah and his life. But a point that I was thinking about with Noah, as faithful as he was, as blameless as he was, the fact that he walked with God, he was still not the perfect creation that God made from the very beginning. And the world after the flood was still not the perfect creation that God made from the very beginning. And it's very interesting. I see these as kind of two stories of creation. We have the beginning of everything as God created it, and then we have the beginning of everything again descending from man. And now God is the one that preserved Noah, so it still came from God's hand. But the thing is that this new world after the flood was still tainted with the shortcomings of man. It was not like the world that God created. And what do we see when we see these two worlds? At the very beginning, that God looked at God himself and said, "This is good. This is perfect." And then we look at the world around us. We see that God is greater than we are, far greater than we are. God does not create as we do. We create problems, and God creates solutions. We create conflict, and God creates peace. We create artificial, a lot of artificial everything, but God creates true life. We create flaws, and God creates perfection. And so we can try to build our life, we can try to create our life as far as we feel is best, as far as we think we need to do, filling ourselves with all the things that we think that we need, and yet our life will still be formless, and it will still be void, and it will still be without purpose unless God is in the picture. But with God in the picture, then we can have life. The truth is that we don't make things as God does. And I find that encouraging, just, you know, for the times that we feel like we're not doing things right, or wondering if we're doing things right. You know, the fact is we're not going to do everything right because we're mankind. We're always going to have some sort of flaw in just about everything that we do. Now, if we're not trying to do things the way that God desires us to do, the way that God has created us to do, then the very honest truth is, no, we're not doing anything right in our life. But if we do things and trying to do things and seeking God in order to do the things that he wants us to do, then we are honestly doing as good as any human can do on this earth. And we can be satisfied with our lives. And it is the ability to do this and to be the people that he always created us to be that God offers through Christ. Peter uses this history of the flood in order to make a couple of points. And we begin with the first one in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Peter says, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him." Now, to use Paul's writings to bring us a little closer to the point, Galatians 3 and verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Christ is perfect. Christ is the creation that God always desired man to be, intended man to be. Even faced with temptation, Jesus did not stumble. He did not fail. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. We read that in Colossians 1 and verse 15. And when we put on Christ, we are clothed in Christ. We are in His image. We have the opportunity to be everything that He desires to be, because the blood of Christ does the thing that the water that Noah was saved through cannot do. It actually makes us spotless and blameless and justifies us and cleanses us spiritually. And we have the opportunity to be blameless before God and to live life good. What He desired all from the beginning, seeking Him to tell us and to show us through His Word what a good life is. And don't you know, if we are created as this creation that God always intended us to be, living life as He says is good, don't you know our life is going to be good? And be better than good. And really, that shows us to be His newly created creation, knowing that there's a day coming when we are taken care of through Jesus Christ, but still the world around us is still flawed. It is still evidence of the world that we create, but there is a day coming. And Peter uses, again, the certainty of the fact that God destroyed the world once before to create a new world, that He is going to do it again. And after making that point, he says this in 2 Peter in verse chapter 3 in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Now, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat, but according to His promise, we are looking forward to the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. I was going to make the point. We began all of this evening with "in the beginning God," and I was going to make the point: in the beginning God, it's still going to be in the end God. But in the truth is, for those that are in Christ Jesus, that are practicing this righteousness, this good life that God gives us through Him, it's not the end. We see a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That doesn't sound like an ending for us. That sounds like we haven't even truly begun to experience what the beginning of our lives is. And so, beloved, since we look forward to these things, I want to leave us again with Peter's encouragement here at the end. Be diligent, diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless, and blameless. Being this people that He always desired us to be and has created us to be through Christ Jesus. If you need to experience that great salvation that does Christ, or if you need any prayers as a congregation, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.